and welcome in at 3:04, right on the button. It is Gym Class coming your way for a Thursday here on KGYM, 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, 106.3 FM, the South Gym, that's in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Big, big show, good show coming up for you. We're going to talk with both play-by-play voices of the teams that will go at it on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium. We're going to talk to Gary Dolphin, play-by-play voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes. That'll be coming up here in just a couple of moments. And Paul Keels, play-by-play voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes, will join us after that. Bowling Night in America wrap-up from week number 9, as well as all things sports. And we start off with the big thing in sports from last night. Hey, Carlos Correa got engaged, Mark. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Yeah, good afternoon. That was a sidelight, certainly, wasn't it? And Houston Astros certainly came through, and in the most strange way, I thought, in terms of the fact that most folks thought that the Dodger bullpen was superior to the Astros. But once the Astros got the lead, it was the Houston bullpen that Charlie Morton was phenomenal, I thought.
Charlie Morton, after all the injuries, a career that has spanned almost 10 years in the big leagues and came through in a big way last night. Yeah, the Houston Astros win the World Series 4-3 over the Los Angeles Dodgers. First World Championship for Houston. And I don't think it's going to be the last World Championship for the Houston Astros as well.
Well, they've got a team put together right now, that's for sure. But we know how it is, how difficult it is to repeat. The Chicago Cubs will tell you that, and many other teams will tell you that. Sometimes circumstances get in the way. You don't know. I mean, I'm not sure of a Houston's payroll situation, but they've just got some terrific young players with Altuve and Correa and
Springer.
And, Springer and
Bregman.
Bregman, and just right on down the line.
Gurriel, just right on down the line. And I thought it was a great World Series, whether the Dodgers won or the Houston Astros won, whatever the case may be. And if you want to chime in, love to hear from you at 319-366-1600. That is our Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line there on the Ped Mall down in Iowa City. And in fact, you can win from Hurtina Stocker Jewelers coming up on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Your chance to win a free men's or women's watch courtesy of Hurtina Stocker Jewelers. Of course, they're helping us remember that daylight savings time ends this Sunday, November the 5th, when 2 a.m. becomes 1 a.m. Change your clocks, change your smoke alarm batteries, carbon monoxide detector batteries as well. All about safety and sparkle this week, courtesy of Hurtina Stocker Jewelers. Mm-hmm. But it was a great series. It wasn't the greatest Game 7 of all time, and usually they're not, to be perfectly brutally honest with you. We don't get great Game 7s a lot. It was an all right game. It was not the greatest game. 5-1, Houston got all their runs in the first couple of innings. Yu Darvish, now there's talk that he may have been tipping off his pitches. Who knows how that played out, but George Springer was the MVP of the World Series and very deserving, got things started. Hey, look, the Dodgers had opportunities. Dodgers had, I think, left 8 on in the first 3 or 4 innings, something
yep.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you have only yourselves to blame at this point. They just could not come through with the key clutch hit when they needed to. Houston did come through with the clutch hits.
And well, how do they say that? That's baseball?
That's baseball.
It certainly is. And you spot on, the Dodgers had chances early on and kind of a strange set of circumstances for at least one of the Astros' runs. But nevertheless, Houston was able to get out ahead and hold on. I think it's a really good story. And, of course, Bo Porter, former manager of the Houston Astros, I think he's still in the front office there, is he not? I'm not sure.
I think so.
But he had a lot to do with the development of these guys, at least early on.
Yeah, and it's usually the manager, the general manager, a lot of people that start off with a reclamation project like Houston was, and they were a reclamation project. And yeah, they talked about it a lot last night and throughout the World Series. The famous SI cover that said, Houston, you're 2017 world champions. And you got to hit rock bottom before you can get to the top of the mountain or the top of the Astrodome or whatever the case may be. And that's what Houston did. And A.J. Hinch was the third manager to go through that group. And he was the one that, you know, collects all the benefits. Except for Carlos Correa and, from what we hear, Justin Verlander.
Bo Porter actually now with the Atlanta Braves. But he was there in 2013 and 14 when a lot of this team was maybe just starting to get developed.
Yep. And of course, and I talked with Todd about this earlier on today. You can go back a few of these guys playing for the Quad City River Bandits. Not too long ago, about 4 years ago, Carlos Correa played in the Midwest League, I believe, for an entire season. And that was a magical year. Same year Byron Buxton was playing with the Cedar Rapids Colonels. And the River Bandits and the Colonels had some great games. And you look back on it now, and if you miss those games out at Vet Stadium or over in Davenport, and you're a baseball fan, you had the opportunity to see them up close and personal. Now, they were pups back then. They're still young guys.
Well, as is the case a lot of years in Midwest League.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So that's why we always encourage you to head out there and take a look at things out there. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment and tell us what you thought of the 2017 World Series. Now we get into the early goings of the Hot Stove League now, which really won't pick up until late December into January.
No, we'll have our final installment with Cal Eldred next Tuesday, I believe.
Correct.
And he'll not only break down the World Series that was, but maybe some of the postseason honors that will be coming down the pike in the next few weeks.
And Houston gets the World Championship. Then Carlos Correa. And, of course, it is 2017. I was talking with Scott and Claire from the Z102.9 morning show earlier on today, and I said, you guys talked about this, I'm sure, this morning, right? They said, yeah, absolutely. And I said, you know that people are poo-pooing it, don't you? Mm-hmm. They said, you got to be kidding me. And I said, what year is it, and what type of society do we live in? Everybody's going to find fault with something. And, of course, Twitter, there are people out there that found fault with Carlos Correa proposing to Miss Texas.
Miss Texas USA.
Miss Texas USA.
Yes.
Oh, it was Miss Texas.
Miss Texas USA.
Valier's got to knock her off? or is she a former Miss Texas USA? We got to find out answers here.
We could bring Jenny in, but she's on the FM right now.
Kyle, go get Jenny. Right now. We need answers to this. Go get Jenny. See if she can make her way in here. Yes, go get her. Go get her. We're going to find out.
Is Jenny Miss Iowa or Miss Iowa USA?
She's Miss Iowa USA.
She is.
She is Miss Iowa USA. So we got to. What'd you think about it? Good time to do the proposal last night.
The only thing I thought, well, what was his backup plan? Had the Dodgers won.
He was going with Verlander and and Upton to Italy. That'd be my backup plan at this point, but. Hey, you know, why not? It's fun. You're having the greatest night of your life. You might as well go for a double, right?
I suppose, yeah.
Matt Vandenberg certainly, you know, did the same thing last year. After Iowa and Iowa State, after he had a terrific game, Iowa got a big win. Hey, you're on a high.
All the women are winning out. Justin Verlander is going to skip the parade so he can marry Kate Upton, or at least prepare to. Mary Kate Upton.
As
is that a perfectly valid excuse?
As I put on Twitter, that is a perfectly valid excuse. And if you have the opportunity. 3 minutes. Okay, we're going to get 3 minutes, and then we're going to find out exactly what's going on here with our own Miss Iowa USA. Background here, Jenny Valier, afternoons on Z102.9. won the Miss Iowa USA pageant.
She did indeed.
A couple of weeks ago. Now, she may be a former Miss Texas USA.
I'm trying to.
Are you trying
I'm
to find
trying to
out?
Check
we got
this, yeah.
People calling us right now, and this might be the case. She may be a former Miss Texas USA, but we got to find out what Jenny needs to do, and if indeed she is up for it, to try to beat Mrs. Correa. Well, first of all, they can't be married, I think. So maybe we found our answer right there. We're finding out all sorts of things.
Well, she's
here.
Not married yet.
Well, no, but right there, getting ready to tie the knot, I guess. Taylor in Cedar Rapids joining us here on the phone lines wants to talk about this World Series as Houston beat the Dodgers in seven games. Hi, Taylor. How are you?
Hello, Scott. I just wanted to say that this is a much better call than when I called into you back in 2005 to congratulate you on the White Sox sweeping my Astros.
White Sox, by the way, continue to be the only team in baseball that has never lost to the Houston Astros in the World Series.
Well, you know, good on them to them. After game one, I was like, I just want to see the Astros win a game in the World Series, but I'll take them winning the entire thing as well. My dad has been an Astro fan since 1965, and I'm just going to say, watching that final out with my brother was in Chicago. He's going to a Dallas Chiefs Sunday. Couldn't be with us, but my son, myself, and my dad, it was just a great – baseball is just so different. And just on an emotional note, that was just such a great moment. I got to spend with him, and it was just awesome seeing him win. And it was a very good series. It really was, especially since my team won. My only problem really with the Carrera proposal was the fact that, if you notice, Miss Texas, you know, she violated that border. She walked right across that gate, and security didn't move in on her when she said yes, and I just don't know where you draw the line on that. That was really my only issue with it. And also, if you saw that rock that he gave her,
oh my gosh,
a double. That's a triple, if not an in-the-park home run. So that's all I got. You guys have a good day.
Taylor, congratulations on your Astros.
Thank you.
Yeah, enjoy it. Enjoy it out there. 319-366-1600.
Daniela Rodriguez, who the subject of the proposal, turned 21 last week and was named Miss Texas Teen USA.
Teen USA.
In 2013.
Okay.
Then was named Miss Texas USA in 2016.
Oh.
So this is not Valera's competition.
Ah. Oh.
But she may be able to comment about being the subject of a proposal game 7 of the World Series.
Well, yes and no. It would have been better if she had the opportunity to. Should we have some sort of walk-in music for Jenny? I mean, special walk-up music. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, come on. What is this?
A flourish. Did you know how close you came to having to be in the same pageant with Carlos Correa's new, soon-to-be wife? Do you know how close you came?
Yeah, but I'm kind of glad I wasn't because she's stunning. I mean, look at her.
She's not going to be your competition, though. She was 2016.
No.
Are
Thank
you happy
goodness.
About that?
I am.
Yeah.
But I do have to compete against a new Miss Texas USA, so.
I think I would have put my money on you. You would have taken her down.
Thank you. You know, I would have been a little more jealous if it was Javi Baez, but she can have him.
Is this an appropriate venue for a woman such as yourself to receive a proposal? Would you be cool with that?
In a baseball stadium?
Yes.
On national TV?
Game 7, yeah.
After the World Series? Of course. But I wonder if she would have still gotten proposed to if they hadn't won.
Yeah, that was my
When was the next time she was going to get proposed?
What was the backup? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a backup plan. I kind of kidded that the backup plan was she was going to go with Verlander and Kate Upton to Italy.
I mean, it's hard to beat the World Series.
So you're okay with it. That's fine. Public like that proposal, you're fine with.
Absolutely.
And she's fine with not having to compete with Daniela Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Correa. Daniela Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Correa.
Did you see her rock, Jenny?
Oh, my gosh, God. Yeah. That thing looked like it was
bigger
weighing,
than the infield.
Weighing down her whole hand. She had tiny fingers.
Jenny's finger is bare, by the way. You don't need any help from this old man.
Javi, if you're listening.
Javi.
Boy, we've narrowed it down a little bit, haven't we? Javi Baez.
That's my goal.
Okay. Well, thanks for stopping by.
You're welcome.
Always good to talk with you and... Glad you don't have to beat her.
When's your competition?
They haven't announced it yet. It's usually in May or June, but it all depends on Fox's programming.
I see. Even that depends on TV.
Exactly.
Where is it?
We don't know yet. They bid on that too, but usually it's been in Vegas.
Okay.
Won't be in Cedar Rapids, all right?
Absolutely not.
We'll talk to you before then.
All right.
Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jen.
That's Jenny Valier, Miss Iowa USA, who will not be competing against Daniela Rodriguez, who was last year's Texas Miss USA.
It would have been better if she was competing against her.
Oh, it would have been great. Uh-huh. That would have been awesome. It would have been great. All right. We're going to take a break, come back. I don't know how Gary Dolphin follows up Miss Iowa USA, but we're going to talk to the play-by-play voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes when we come back. You're listening to the Gym Class, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM.
For the all-new McGrath Volkswagen of Marion, here is Pat McGrath.
When we had the opportunity to add Volkswagen to the McGrath family of dealerships, we didn't hesitate for a moment. With the high level of performance and dollar-for-dollar value in every Volkswagen, we were meeting the needs of drivers who appreciate the exceptional. And that's the beauty of Volkswagen.
Performance and value are yours at the all-new McGrath Volkswagen of Marion. But for Pat McGrath, Volkswagen is more than just a vehicle.
We love Volkswagen because so many people have enjoyed a Volkswagen moment. A road trip in a microbus, seeing how many you could cram into a Beetle, Volkswagen is fun. Take a test drive at either McGrath Volkswagen location and you'll love it too.
The all-new McGrath Volkswagen of Marion, the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and 7th Avenue.
Dollar for dollar, Volkswagen delivers great value. And as you have for 65 years, count on us for a great ownership experience. McGrath Volkswagen of Marion, online, McGrathAuto.com.
Are you ready for a place to call home instead of just another job? Family-owned Midwest Metal Products might be just what you're looking for. They're a small company with big opportunities, and they've been very good to their employees for over 50 years. See a video tour at MidwestMetalProducts.biz to find out if it's a place you'd like to call home. They have second shift openings now and provide on-the-job training. Midwest Metal Products in Cedar Rapids is an equal employment opportunity employer. Non-tobacco users only. Drug screen and physical required.
Connecting with your family and friends is what La Cantina is all about. This football season, add sizzle to the game. La Cantina would be happy to cater your tailgate. Or reserve La Cantina's party room and watch the action on their big screen while you crunch, sip, and cheer. La Cantina makes every football game a winner. Connect at La Cantina in the Fountains on Edgewood Road, in Marion, and in downtown Cedar Rapids. La Cantina is now accepting applications for positions at all three locations.
Looking back at the glory days while keeping the pulse on the here and now. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
Back at 3:21 here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class, KGYM. NFL Thursday Night Football coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. Not a bad one in the AFC East. The New York Jets hosting the Buffalo Bills, one of the surprise teams in the National Football League. We'll have it tonight for you. All three frequencies beginning at 7 o'clock this evening. We have a Dr. Pepper prize pack we'll be giving away. That'll be coming up between now and 4 o'clock here this afternoon. Your chance to win a 24-pack of regular Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper. Some Dr. Pepper prizes, some KGYM prizes as well. And like I said, we will do that before 4 o'clock here today. Coming up Saturday, Iowa takes on the Ohio State Buckeyes at 2:30 at Kinnick Stadium. And tonight, Iowa basketball. Belmont Abbey comes to Carver Hawkeye Arena. We'll talk about those things with our next guest, Gary Dolphin, play-by-play voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, joining us here on a Thursday edition of the program. And Gary, you're having to come on after Miss Iowa USA. Do you have any? That's a tough act.
I'm sorry, guys. This is Javi Baez. Can I speak to Jenny?
Gary wins the day.
Now I know why you wanted to move me up in the show to keep those ratings up there.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, did you walk by Floyd and give him a little pat on the snout on Tuesday?
I did actually on Wednesday. I rarely make the press conferences on Tuesday. As you guys know, I have my own personal 90-minute press conference with Kirk every Wednesday night. So, but I patted Floyd on the backside. You know, he's gotten quite heavier and healthier since he made the move back from the frozen hinterland of the Twin Cities here a few years ago. Quit eating that tofu and got him back on some good corn meal diet, and he looks great. And he was a little nervous there pacing the sidelines Saturday night, but got him back in the trophy case. He looks as good as ever.
Yeah, you'd rather win a game like that, Gary, than the alternative, that's for sure. But the big conversation piece, I think, has been the Iowa running game, and I'm sure you and Eddie have talked it over and tried to analyze it, and it's just a head-scratcher, isn't it?
Yeah, it is to a degree, Mark. I think when Brian Ferentz put his playbook together
following spring football and early on into the summer, he knew he was going to have two fifth-year senior All-Big Ten offensive tackles to work with. And, you know, you just can't change what you want to do because you happen to lose both of them. It's really an oddity that you would lose one, let alone both. And when Ike Boettcher went down in, you know, week two at Iowa State with a torn Achilles, and then Boone Myers has not been healthy all year long, those were two key components of that, you know, Joe Moore Offensive Line of the Year Award winner last year. And so I don't want to oversimplify it, but that's a big part of why the running game has been inconsistent and, quite frankly, has really struggled at times. We're not used to seeing Iowa average 3.4 or 3.5 yards a carry. And, you know, to compound it, you lose James Butler, who they were really counting on in terms of getting Akram out in space, putting Butler, who's a proven 3,300 career yard runner, albeit at Nevada, but he was averaging about 4.6 yards a carry when he dislocated his elbow in week three against North Texas. So those 2 weeks, those last two non-conference games, really cost the Iowa offense. And you know, you guys have seen and heard what we're watching, and it's been a real struggle since then. Now you add in a first-year starting quarterback who's pretty good, and two, maybe three freshman receivers at times, with Vandenberg trying to find his way back after breaking the same foot twice. So it's been one calamity after another on offense, and I'm really getting tired of these one possession 17-10 games. I'll be honest with you, I'd like to have a laugher once in a while, but it is what it is. Thank goodness the defense has been spectacular more often than not.
Well, I was just going to say the defense has been outstanding. Not only Josie Jewell, but then also Iowa's kind of uncovered another a guy that is getting a lot of publicity, and that's Mr. Jackson at one of the corner positions.
And think about it, Scott. We were scratching our head over, okay, who's going to take Desmond King's spot on a consistent basis? Because not only him, but they lost Greg Maben is with the Chargers. They lost Brandon Snyder, tore his ACL in the spring. So there goes three starters in your back end, and you knew the front seven would be okay. And quite frankly, the front seven has played better than even I thought they could play. But you're right, Josh Jackson has been a real godsend. I mean, he leads the Big Ten in pass deflections or breakups. He's got a couple of interceptions. He leads the Big Ten in passes defended. He has been phenomenal, and frankly, I expect teams to start throwing away from Greg Maben, but Rugumba and Ojemudia still works in progress on the other side. But Amani Hooker has emerged. And so to me, Saturday night going forward, the three guys that have really stuck out, obviously Josie Jewell. I mean, he missed a week. He still leads the Big Ten in tackles. But as you guys know, he's so much more than just an open field tackler. And he's a great tackler. But Anthony Nelson has had a knockout year. He's number two in the Big Ten in sacks. He's got six sacks. And then Jackson. So you've got a guy in the D-line, a guy in the middle, and a guy in the back end who are really playing well. And those guys are going to play their best games on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon with the Buckeyes.
Yeah, in comes Ohio State, which is a team we haven't seen since 2013, Gary, as you know. And JT Barrett, the quarterback, has just been sensational the last six games since that loss to Oklahoma. I'm trying to figure out a way in my mind how Iowa can stay in this game. And maybe it's a game like Penn State earlier this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you, Mark. I think it's got to be a game like Michigan last year where they forced a fumble on the second half kickoff. Iowa did.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson got the safety in the end zone. Rugumba peeled the ball away from the receiver for Michigan when he made a big catch in Iowa territory. You know, I guess I'm saying you got to win the turnover battle and you got to win special teams. And then I think that keeps you even. But, you know, till my dying day, I'll never forget Terrell Pryor straggling from one boundary line to the other on a fourth, and I think it was 12. He's running sideways for about 10 minutes, it seems, and then found his way to the end zone. That was the difference maker in that game in Iowa City. And then doggone, a couple years later, Braxton Miller does essentially the same thing to get it to overtime before the Hawkeyes lost that game. It's just an incredible run of quarterbacks that Ohio State has had. And JT Barrett, I don't know that he's the best of them all, but he's pretty close. I mean, you think about 20 touchdown passes to one interception. That's you know, he and Stanley are 1-2 in the Big Ten, and I look for both those guys to have big games on Saturday. I mean, Stanley has to. I mean, but that said, he's up against maybe the best front four in all of college football. I mean, they were talking about him, or about this front four led by Nick Bosa. That name sounds familiar to you guys. Yeah. I know Joey Bosa, the younger brother. But they were talking about this front four coming into the season. Many of the pundits were rating this front four the very best in college football. And they have four, count them, four defensive ends that would start for anybody, and Hubbard and Taquan Lewis and Bosa and Jalen Holmes. And that's where it starts with Ohio State. Of course, they always have a couple number one draft picks coming out of the secondary, and the linebackers are always solid. So But obviously it's a defense that has given up some points this year. And so, to me, the start of the game, those first couple series are really going to be critical for Iowa in terms of confidence and just settling in on Saturday. You know, you don't have to score, but you need three or four first downs, use up, you know, 7 or 8 minutes of clock. That's the best alternative to me in keeping Barrett and those great running backs and receivers off the field.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, Gary, Iowa in the last few weeks have had terrific starts to games. Now, against Northwestern, they didn't score points off of those, but it's been very, very good. And for some reason, Iowa's going to need that. And if history dictates itself once again, Iowa at home seemingly plays well against top 10 teams, and we'll see if it happens again Saturday.
They do, and you know, you mentioned the time-consuming drives. They had an 11-play drive and a 12-play drive at Northwestern, and Russinos duck-hooked the one field goal attempt into a 30-mile-an-hour win. I get that. And then they scored on a 4-play, 77-yard drive, all passes. And so it has been perplexing at times. And you guys remember, you know, whether it was Stanzi or C.J. Beathard or Vandenberg, how often Iowa used to score on the opening drive. They have not scored on an opening drive all season. I mean, that to me is really shocking. Now, Nick Easley juggled the football at the goal line against North Texas, and then Akram got called for the unsportsmanlike, or they would have scored on their first two drives, but, you know, it is what it is. That's the other thing. They got to knock off these debilitating penalties, and here they sit minus two in turnovers on the year. You guys know full well that with Norm Parker days, which weren't that long ago, by this time of the year, Iowa would be plus 8, plus 9, plus 10 in turnovers. And given the way the defense has played, really makes you wonder if the Hawks just take care of the football, they got a chance to beat anybody. And hopefully they put it all together on Saturday.
You know the staff as well as anybody, Gary. Do you care to weigh in on the Brian Ferentz situation last weekend?
I was surprised, Mark, like most people. But you know, when you look at Brian's personality, and I think part of what we have just talked about for the last 5 to 7 minutes, the frustrations on offense, clearly bubbled over with Brian. I mean, he's not a volatile guy, but as you know, he's an emotional guy. He's a very outspoken guy, very well-spoken, articulate, gives great interviews. Everybody loves him. We know he's a bright, young offensive mind. He's a head coach in waiting, you know, 34 years old, and he's paying his dues right now, and it's his first year, and he wants to make an impression. And, you know, he's watching the same offense we are. And, and given the injuries and the penalties and the turnovers, and, when I heard, they're only a couple doors down from us, when I heard what happened at halftime Saturday night, I didn't hear a thing because we got the headsets on. But I thought when they said it was over the one turnover, I figured he was talking about the ball that nosedived into the turf after it hit Amir Smith right in the face mask, and the kid from Minnesota picked it up. Here they were talking about Butler's fumble, which I, from what I'm hearing, and I haven't talked to Brian, that he thought that forward motion was whistled or should have been stopped. But I really think it was more of a frustration buildup for him, just kind of boiled over the top. He'll learn from it. You know, we all make mistakes. He did the right thing. He apologized publicly, and he sent the guy a letter. And, you know, he's certainly not like his dad outwardly. I'm sure he will be at some point during his career. But I know this. He's a good guy. He's a great family man. He wants to win like we all do. And I think it was just one of those moments, Mark, where, the old twig snapped. He's got to glue it back together.
Gotcha.
Gary Dolphin joining us here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And you shift gears tonight. Basketball at Carver Hawkeye Arena, the second and final exhibition game for the Hawkeyes as they take on Belmont Abbey coming up tonight. And, of course, I guess the one piece of news since the last exhibition game is that Connor McCaffrey is going to be a member of this team on the court, will not be redshirted this year. And I guess your thoughts about game number one and about Connor playing.
I think it's a great move if you're an Iowa basketball fan to have Connor decide to take that red shirt off. And he'll talk to Rick Heller about baseball. He's a heck of a baseball player, and I know what he has, and I know his love for that game, but the Hawks do need some help at guard. You know, Jordan can't do it all on his own, and you know he's been nursing the foot injury, and so I think the timing is right, especially with Christian Williams deciding to leave the program. Connor can step right in, and he, you know, he's got a lot of things to work on, for crying out loud. He's a true freshman, but he sees the court so well. He's an incredibly gifted passer. He always plays with his head up. He can penetrate, even as big as he is. He's not your prototypical, you know, 6 foot jet point guard that can get to the basket and find the open guy. He's 6 foot five, whatever, and maybe not as quick as some guards that you'd like to have at the point. But he has a kind of a slashing, penetrating style that I really like. And he's tough. You know, he's tough like his dad, and he can get to the lane and he can find the guy. But he's got great vision. He's a wonderful passer. And he'll pay immediate dividends. And the other thing, you know, when you look at that class, Jack Nungy, a perfect 6-for-6 the other night, and Garza was 8-for-13. So now you put those numbers together, and whatever it is, 14-for-20, and by two first-year players, that I don't know where they're going to find minutes for all these big guys. Guys, I got to be honest with you, but you know, he's done it. I say he, McCaffrey has found ways to keep everybody happy. You know, Cordell Pemsel's coming off that double hernia surgery, and Tyler Cook should be much better as a sophomore. Ryan Kreiner, I mean, he won a couple games for Iowa late last year in Big Ten play. They've got so many, and I haven't even mentioned Nicholas Beer yet, and he can play a couple different positions. To me, though, the X factor is still Isaiah Moss. He's had a great spring and summer. He's had a great developmental period off his redshirt freshman year. He's got to pick up. Between he and Bohannon, I think they can make up the slack for Peter Jock's absence at 21 a game a year ago. But Isaiah, I think he's going to be fine. He just tweaked his ankle last week. He'll be okay. But to me, he's the X factor. If he plays the way I think he can play with that Chicago Public League toughness, then it could be a much better year for Iowa basketball than even we envisioned.
Yeah, Gary, from the vantage point that you and Bobby and Kevin have at courtside there, I can't I think you're – view is going to be obstructed even more than it usually is with Fran and, I mean, all these guys being run in and out at the scorer's table.
Well, the good news there is, Mark, that one of the rule changes this year is they've extended the coach's box.
Yeah.
Where it runs almost to the midcourt stripe. So I politely asked Fran to just move further to my right because, you know, he's got that, I got that angle right directly to the Iowa basket in the second half. And he and Spiro will stand right there, and then the official on that side of the floor will stop, and they'll have a visit while I was in the half court. The good news is they aren't in the half court offense very, very, very often. And so I'm hoping he'll drift a little bit more towards center court now, but we'll see. It should be fun.
Let's face it, coaching boxes do not contain coaches.
No. Well, he always took a liberal use of the coach's box. Anyway, I said, well, what's the big advantage to extending the coach's box? And he jokingly, I'm sure, said, so I can go down and rip the face off the shot clock operator if they reset it too soon or they don't reset it. So he's got an answer for everything.
Yeah, sounds good. Would you like us to relay anything to Paul Keels, who we're going to talk to next?
Oh, you're talking to Big Daddy, huh?
Yeah.
He's had quite a run out there at Ohio State. But that thing last week, I watched, you know, most of the second half earlier in the week. That's one for the ages, that comeback. And hopefully they're a little bit hungover from Penn State. But now Paul Keels and, you know, the great Jim Lachey, one of the hogs in that Washington Redskins offensive line, they've got a great broadcast team. But I'd sound pretty good too, Scotty, if I was calling the Buckeye game.
It's not hard. Touchdown, Ohio State.
Welcome to the horseshoe.
There you go.
Ever run into Javi Baez, make sure he knows about Jenny, okay?
You know, I have a couple of marketing contacts with the Cubs. I better stay away from it.
Yeah, we better stay away from it, too.
All right, guys.
Hey, thanks, Garrett.
Garrett, thanks. Have a good call tonight. Talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. Good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Gary Dolphin, play-by-play voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. 3:38, and we will take a quick break, come back, and we'll talk to Paul Keels and get his thoughts about Iowa and Ohio State. That will be coming up on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. We're also going to have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up from last night, and we'll give away a Dr. Pepper prize pack today. So we will have all that for you before 4 o'clock.
DirecTV has been rated number one in customer satisfaction over cable for 17 years running. But some people still like cable, just like some people like being crushed by a massive linebacker.
Thanks!
Shanking the game-winning field goal.
Yes, I missed!
Finding hair in their nachos.
Tastes better.
And getting snapped with a wet towel in the locker room.
Ow! Fun!
For everyone else, there's DirecTV. For number one rated customer satisfaction over cable, switch to DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
As compared to other major subscription TV cable providers, claim based on 2001 to 2017 ACSI surveys of customers rating their own TV provider's performance.
Got a DIYer on your gift list? The Home Depot has a couple of suggestions. In one, Ryobi's OnePlus Drill Driver and Impact Driver Kit at a new lower price of just $99 was $149. Two great Ryobi tools and a powerful battery that drives them both, plus over 100 other Ryobi tools. Can't decide between this tool or that? Get this tool and that. The Ryobi OnePlus Drill Driver and Impact Driver Kit, just $99 now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through January 24th, U.S. only while supplies last.
At Advance Auto Parts, we offer you the quality parts you want and knowledge you need. And we're always looking for ways to help you save. Right now, get your choice of 5 quarts of Penzo Platinum Full Synthetic or High Mileage Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Purolator Boss Oil Filter for just $29.99. Speed Breaks members also get a $5 reward. Only at Advance or participating CarQuest Auto Parts stores. Advance Auto Parts. Where oil is priced like it should be. See store for details. Limit 5 oil change specials per customer. Valid now through November 29th.
Guys, come into the JCPenney men's store for your new fall look. Now through Sunday, get 50% off select outerwear, sweaters, and men's Arizona denim and tops. Plus, check out what's new in our Big and Tall shop. Find great styles of select items from the Foundry Big and Tall Supply Company starting at $11.99. We've got all the styles you need in your size, in-store and at jcp.com. Hurry in. Sale ends Sunday. JCPenney. Offers represent savings on regular original prices. While supplies last. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class on KGYM.
We'll let you know how things went on the alleys last night. Coming up before 4 o'clock, we'll have a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away as well, which includes a 24-pack of regular Dr. Pepper or dyed Dr. Pepper. That is your choice. Some KGYM swag as well as some Dr. Pepper swag. We will have that for you coming up before 4 o'clock here this afternoon. Iowa, Ohio State, we just heard from Gary Dolphin. And now Paul Keels, good enough to join us here, play-by-play voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes, and they'll be at Kinnick coming up on Saturday for a 2:30 kick. We've got Before the Boom coming your way at 12:30 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, and then live from Coach's Corner in Iowa City, it's After the Final Gun, immediately following the game. And Paul, thanks for the time. Good afternoon, and what a comeback by the Buckeyes last weekend at Columbus.
Yeah, it's one of those that still has people kind of shaking their heads, wondering what they saw, and to see this team for three quarters have the difficulty they did against an awfully good Penn State team, and then for the fourth quarter have a legendary performance by JT Barrett. Really very impressive for this football team.
Have you seen JT play better than he has the last six games, Paul?
You know, I think certainly there were stretches in 2014 in route to a national championship mm-hmm. where he played at that kind of level. Some of the plays he made late in the season in a big win at Michigan State were very, very crucial. But, you know, to complete 16 in a row, to set a school record with over 400 yards of total offense, this might be the best he's ever played.
And Ohio State certainly needed that to come from behind in that fourth quarter. Now the Buckeyes are right back in not only the Big Ten driver's seat, but also in the talk for national playoffs.
well in the discussion board, but certainly they understand what they're going to get when they come to Iowa City for this weekend. And the following week, they have Michigan State coming here to Columbus. And, you know, it wasn't too long ago the Spartans upset some dreams that they had. So that's one of the good things that Urban Meyer and his coaching staff have always positioned their team mentally to be ready for what's next and focus just on what's next. You know, they've not been talking about the playoff rankings or anything else. They just know that they're going to get a physical challenge Saturday at Kinnick Stadium, and that's where they've got to put their attention.
Paul, how is Ohio State better than it was in week two against Oklahoma, or is it just a matter of passing time?
No, I think they're better, at least based on what we saw Saturday against Penn State. The accuracy in the passing game is better. Which, you know, I think really it wasn't just that it was JT Barrett. The offensive line is protecting better. The receiving group has grown up and gotten better, and the variety of receivers and the multiple threats that are out there. And I think we've seen the pass defense is better. That was an area that was a concern against Oklahoma that the Sooners were able to exploit. And guys like Denzel Ward and Damon Arnett, and certainly their safeties, Jordan Fuller and Damon Webb, have improved on the back end. So, you know, I think they are better, and that's kind of the question. For 5 weeks, everybody wondered while they were, you know, putting up big numbers against Nebraska and Rutgers and Maryland and UNLV and Army. Not really sure if they had improved, but I think from what we saw last week, they've shown that they have improved.
Paul, everyone talks about JT Barrett and this offense, but the thing that Kirk Ferentz has been really pointing at is the front four on defense and how good they are. Maybe the best that he's ever seen for Ohio State, and maybe just flat out the best in the country this year. And boy, those guys they're tough up there.
They are, and not just the front four. I mean, everybody kind of focuses on the four starters, Sam Hubbard, Tracy Sprinkle, Draymond Jones, and Tycon Lewis, but Jalen Holmes is a guy that can cause problems. Robert Landers had a crucial play late in that game. Nick Bosa has been a nightmare for people. Jayshon Cornell has been a guy that's made some quality plays. So what they've done is rotated a lot of people on that defensive line, keeping that group fresh and keeping the stress on the offensive line, who doesn't get to substitute as much. And really their last stand against Penn State, when you saw how they were able to harass Penn State, you know, Sam Hubbard comes up and tackles both Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley, and they force him into a fourth down incompletion pass. That's an area that everybody thought at the beginning of the year would be the strength of the team, and they certainly showed Saturday why people look at him that way.
Urban Meyer, of course, addressed Iowa this week, and one of the things he said or he commented about was Iowa's ability to get teams to the fourth quarter, and that's exactly what Iowa did against Penn State. Let's face it, Paul. The Hawkeyes were thoroughly dominated statistically against Penn State, but it came down to the last play of the game. What did Urban have to say about that and other things regarding Iowa?
Well, he reflected back to his time in the mid-'80s as a graduate assistant, his only other time going to Kinnick Stadium, where it took a great catch by Chris Carter for Ohio State to win a football game. He also referenced while at Florida, I think he said it was his first year at Florida, where they played Iowa in a bowl game, and he got a first-hand example of how tough they are. And then, you know, even referenced the last time they played back here in, what was it, 2013, where Iowa jumped out to a 10-0 lead, came out, played with three tight ends, caught Ohio State off guard, and they had to adjust on the fly. So he's got a great deal of respect for Kirk Ferentz, for the Iowa tradition, the Iowa program, but also understands what it's like to go on the road, regardless of where it is, knowing that, you know, you're going just with a smaller group of people than what you have at home, going into a hostile environment. So, you know, that's the things that he knows that they have to be ready to deal with when they get to Kinnick Stadium.
And the fact few, if any, of these guys on either side have seen one another's jerseys. They haven't played since 2013.
I was trying to think about some of that. I think the only guys on Ohio State that might have been even exposed to the last time they played were guys that are redshirt seniors right now. You know, I think obviously nobody is on the team that played at Kinnick when they were there last. And I think Brandon Snyder is, as best I could tell, the only Iowa guy that's played against Ohio State. And that's the unfortunate part about conference expansion. You know, I think we've looked at some of the games that they've had. And even though Ohio State has such a big lead in the series, there have been such great games. And the fact that you don't see Iowa as often, you don't see Minnesota as often, you know, I think that's unfortunate, especially, you know, at least presently, the expansion of the teams that were added really haven't helped the strength of the conference. So that's unfortunate because I think a lot of Ohio State fans that love to travel would love going to Iowa City and love going to Cedar Rapids and see Kinnick Stadium and see what it's like. I know that when Iowa was here last, there were quite a few Hawkeye fans that came out here and traveled. So that's the unfortunate part, that some of these longstanding conference opponents just don't get to see one another as often as they used to.
Well, one of those freshmen that's going to see Kinnick Stadium for the first time is J.K. Dobbins, and he has been terrific. If he has a big day against Iowa, could go over the 1,000-yard mark already for this season for Ohio State. And you've had some good running backs, let's face it, over the years, but how good is this young man?
Very good, and consider the fact that he missed all but one play of his senior season in high school with a broken leg, came in here early, went through spring ball, and then in the beginning of the summer was able to get extended reps because Mike Weber was dealing with a hamstring injury in the summer. He's a guy that looks like he's been playing for a couple of years. Very fluid. He's got a very impressive jump cut move that he makes, and is a guy that can turn a seemingly decent play into a big play at the blink of an eye. Plus, you throw in Mike Weber, who rushed for 1,000 yards last year as a redshirt freshman, and what JT Barrett gives you as a running threat. That's where Ohio State, you know, so much talk about all of the passes they completed in the fourth quarter last Saturday. It's still an Ohio State team that can hurt you running the football if things are going well.
We talked to Gary Dolphin before bringing you on, Paul. Of course, his signature is Touchdown Iowa. Do you ever get tired of saying Touchdown Ohio State?
Well, if that were the case, it probably would have happened in late September and early October with some of those 50 and 60 point games. But, you know, it certainly is one of those things you never know when that's going to happen, when a team's going to get on a roll. And I think that, you know, the interesting part for Ohio State, their first two games of the year were at Indiana and at home with Oklahoma. And then it was after that where they had what most teams have at the beginning of the season, some of those lopsided games where you get a chance to play a lot of people. So it certainly is a good thing when you see a lot of those touchdowns. And one area that's been a concern for Ohio State has been their special teams, especially their kick coverage. But they've gotten an awful lot of practice at kicking off. So hopefully that'll be something they'll be able to smooth out.
I was going to ask you, you guys opened up against Indiana with a conference game right out of the chute. Your thoughts on that? Are we going to see more of that? Did Urban Meyer like it? You guys like it? Tell us about it.
Well, we are going to see more of it. Remember, it did happen some in the 80s. And Ohio State, I think the next time they're going to do it is in maybe 2019 or 20. They're going to open the season at Minnesota. And I know the Big Ten has announced here in the next few years there's going to be some conference teams opening against one another. You know, for something different, I think it's kind of nice. Especially in that case with Indiana, it's like a 3.5-hour drive from here. And I think the fact that it was on a Thursday night was kind of a nice different twist on Labor Day weekend. I think for something to be just a little bit of a different twist, it was kind of nice to see. Every year I'm not so sure about, but it's kind of nice to see that, you know, all of the different things that the Big Ten's doing that we could all at times criticize and find fault with. It's kind of nice to see him trying this in small doses just to see how it'll work.
How's Ohio State basketball going to be with a new head coach?
That's a big question, and their first and one and only an exhibition game will be Sunday afternoon. They host the College of Worcester, who's one of the top Division III teams in the country in the last 10, 15, 20 years. But it's going to be a transition. The one good thing is Kata Bates-Diop, who took a medical redshirt last year, will be a welcome addition back. He was showing the ability to be a double-figure scorer and rebounder. Jayshon Tate, who's probably one of the hardest-working guys you'll ever see on a court, comes back. The issue Ohio State's going to have, they have one scholarship point guard, C.J. Jackson. After that, they're going to have Andrew Dockich, the graduate transfer from Michigan, and they'll have a walk-on. So they've got some youth that looks promising. They've got the Mr. Ohio basketball winner, Caleb Wesson, who most likely will be their starting center. They have a young man by the name of Kyle Young, who is on the big division state championship team, who was originally going to go to Butler, but followed Coach Holtman and his staff to Columbus and Ohio State. So it's going to be a little bit of a transition. There's a possibility it could be more difficult than it was the last 2 years under Thad Matta. It's going to be very strange not to see Thad Matta out there, the all-time winningest coach in school history. Two Final Fours, a national championship game appearance. It was just unfortunate that everything came to an end the way that it did. But, you know, I think there's some promise, but this season might not necessarily be one of those promising years. But who knows?
Who knows? And that's why they play the games. And, Paul, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And safe travels over here to Eastern Iowa. And good talking Ohio State Athletics with you.
My pleasure, guys. Take care. Have a good weekend.
You bet. Paul Keels, play-by-play voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. joining us. We will take a break, come back. We'll let you know what happened last night on the lanes when we return. And also at this time, going to give you an opportunity to win a Dr. Pepper prize pack, courtesy of Steve and everybody down the hill at Dr. Pepper. Appreciate them helping out with Halloween the other night and just being great with us here at KGYM. Caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. You will get a 24-pack of regular Diet Dr. Pepper, some Dr. Pepper prizes, some KGYM prizes, including a pint glass. 319-366-1600. Caller number 6, you will pick up that prize. Back with more after this.
There's only one tailgate giving you the chance to win free airfare on Allegiant. It's the Eastern Iowa Airport tailgate. The tent goes up 4 hours before kickoff, so stop by and sign up for your chance to win free airfare on Allegiant. Play some games and enjoy eats and drinks, too. It's time to start planning spring break, so tailgate with the Eastern Iowa Airport and Allegiant this Saturday near Kinnick in the grassy grove of trees just past the right field fence of Duane Banks Iowa Baseball Complex. The Eastern Iowa Airport. More seats, more flights, more options. Fly CID.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will. Because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out CarpentersUnionApprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
Begin the countdown to the 2018 Corridor Classic Tour de Cure tomorrow from 11 to 2 at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. 15 minutes south of Iowa City, or go to diabetes.org/Corridor Classic.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Congratulations to Chris in North Liberty. He picks up a Dr. Pepper prize pack, and it will be a good one. Not a good one. Ian Rappaport, right now, national insider for the NFL Network and NFL.com, has just tweeted out, Deshaun Watson, Texans quarterback, suffering a torn ACL in practice today. Non-contact injury, MRI coming to confirm. That from Ian Rappaport. I don't think it's fake news. That's a definite, honest-to-goodness Twitter site and Twitter handle for Ian. So, that's bad news for everybody. What a good kid, and what a terrific season he has had so far.
Yeah, it was off to a wonderful start. Fantasy owners out there, I'm sure you're not pleased about the news either, but the actual football player, Deshaun Watson, and for the Houston Texans, that's not good news.
No, it isn't. We didn't have good news last night either, Mark.
We won game two. Can we leave it at that?
And it's time for a Bowling Night in America wrap-up. It is brought to you by May City Bowl, located on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home a very popular Bowling Night in America, Mark.
Well, Hup Electric zapped us last night.
Yes, they did. Zap.
Zapped us, so yeah. We did get game two after losing game one, and then we fell in game three and lost the series. So only 1 point for us last night out of four. And we are still tied, though, for fourth place in the mature Evergreen League at May City. At 20-16, actually a three-way tie there. Durline Scale pulling away from everybody else in the league. What are they at, 29 wins now?
I think they got a 7 or 8 game cushion right now.
Yeah, it was 2 before we met them last week, and now they pulled away. But not a great night for us. Good night for Hop, and we tip our hat to that squad there. Ryan Bundy, very hot night, 279 game. And 753 series leading the way. Lon Pepper also had 279. Chad Pettijohn at 737. And Vic Keys with a 722. Also very, very good series. So another night in the books, May City Bowl.
I'm off next week. You have a very important job next week.
You want a bowl for me? No.
No, I already told the other group I'll be with them next week, but that was before I saw the schedule.
Who is it? Pen Pals?
You have a very important job next week.
Is it the Pen Pals?
Yes, it is.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes, it is. You will be in charge of said schmedium satin jacket next week.
All right.
For the Pen Pals versus the Rusty Nails. By the way, Pen Pals had their modest 8-game winning streak snapped last night.
Well, I'll endeavor to get it back to the office next week then.
Please do.
Yeah.
Please do. And if you'd like to go out and practice or just have a great time, May City Bowl is the place to go.
It is. 3620136 is the number. The website, maycitybowlcr.com, 4182 on the text line. You guys need to get your heads in the game. Gosh.
We do. We do. There were no proposals last night either.
No.
And good to see Buzz Moore back last night as well.
Speak for yourself. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Coming off the IR list. It was good to see him out there.
It was.
All right. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next. Have a great Thursday night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
It's the Ford year-end sales event.
I can't wait for you to meet my parents.
Yeah, can't wait. Oh, here's a spot.